Welcome to the Whiskey Congress. Honest, open talk dedicated to speaking the truth to those who are open to hearing it. Black, white, right, left. Most importantly, honest, bold, and fueled by good whiskey. In Whiskey Veritas, we are Whiskey Congress. Join the evolution.
Whiskey Congress is back in session, unlike the real Congress, but we'll get to that. We have a whiskey to review for you. It is Michter's Small Batch Bourbon. Comes in at 91 proof, 91.4 proof. I like it. I'm not amazed. I'm giving it an 89.
Ooh, that's slow. It's a pretty solid bourbon. The only knock on it, I guess, is on the back end. There's a wee bit of a burn, but I mean, I think other than that, it's pretty smooth. Flavor profile is not overly complex.
That's what I'm saying. It's nice, smooth bourbon, but it's nothing about it makes you go, ooh, that's neat.
Right, but I mean, it's got a couple of distinct flavors. I think that apple comes through, that kind of sweet maple to a degree, but it kind of dries out towards the back end. So I like it. I mean, I'm going to give it a 91.
Okay.
I think it's above board and it's solid. What was the price point on this? You got this out of
37,
state.
38. No, I bought it here.
Oh, you did? Yeah. Oh, okay. Good. Good. I haven't seen the small batch here. So
it's good. And that could be at the store right here on Lorraine Ave. So.
By me?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh, wow. Well, good for them.
Good for them. Anyway, it's okay. Maybe I'm being a bit unfair. But we're right in the same general ballpark.
Yeah. A lot of big whiskeys coming up too, that are coming down the pike.
Little tease there from Steve. He's made some acquisitions, or he's made some transactions we actually have to acquire yet.
Yes.
But yes, there's our tease. All right, so we got to do it.
Yeah.
There's no way around the topic that was everything on news radio today. So I drove back from Grand Rapids today, and 4 hours, some of it was spent on the Alan Cox show and stuff like that, but a lot of political talk. I went from the Patriot Network to Urban View to POTUS. I listened to your boy Chris Cuomo quite a bit, who is actually starting to grow on me a little bit.
Like, you take away the fact that he can be a cheese dick, you know, just kind of over the top with the whole thing. Okay, fine. But I believe he brings a relatively objective, to a degree, analysis. And so I give him the benefit of the doubt. I find him humorous. You put it all together, I think it's a good combination.
No, I understand. And I still think the Fredo thing is absolutely hysterical. And his Fredo equals yeah. I want to start walking around with how you can go, yo, my Fredo, how you doing?
Yeah.
Which is spit and said by no one ever, by the way. Anyway, so the Democratic leadership is starting an impeachment investigation. Mm-hmm. This is, to me, this is something you do, and you swing for the fences, or you don't do, because it's a political nightmare. Now, I'm about to contradict myself, because I'm also convinced 100% that this is a political maneuver. Now, having said that, it did spin from a whistleblower, and that is a big fucking deal. That is a huge deal.
Yeah, I mean,
a whistleblower is a
it is. I mean, I think that there's a lot of things at play here. I mean, was the whistleblower working on their own? Did they have some, you know, coaching / nudging from, you know, someone that maybe sits on the Intel committee? I don't know. There's a lot here, and there's also very little here, right?
Right.
I mean, you look at the transcripts of this particular call. And it's hard for me to look at it. Like, listen, I can, where the president, like a lot of people are focusing on, the president said, I need a favor. And then he said, blah, 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 blah. Right. And people are saying, you know, they're jumping to where he talked about Biden. And then, you know, the GOP people are saying, well, he asked about CrowdStrike and he wanted to know about the 2016 election. So the next paragraph doesn't count. I'm like, okay, just, all right. So first of all, yes. He did say, I need a favor. I need you to look into what happened in 2016. But there was a comma and an and, essentially, right, based off the way the conversation went, that he did also ask about looking into Biden and Biden's son and saying what Biden did. And then he talks about the ambassador of the Ukraine and the prosecutor. And the thing that stands out for me about this whole thing is what Trump doesn't know, right? Trump thinks that the prosecutor was the good guy, right? The Ukrainian prosecutor was a corrupt individual, right? The reason why Biden and other members of the UN, you know, Biden and the United States and other members of the United Nations wanted that prosecutor out because that prosecutor was known to be corruptible and corrupt and shady, or however you want to say it. You know, the whole thing with the prosecutor investigating Biden's son's company, well, that investigation had been dormant for an extended period of time.
Right.
And Biden, his whole thing was like, listen, you need to go back into this investigation and in other investigations. And if not, then you need to go because you're not doing your job. You know, so the timeline on this and what actually happens matters. Right. Because the new president comes in, Zelensky comes in for the Ukraine and fires that particular prosecutor. Right. And he fires him specific. Well, actually, he was fired before Zelensky got in. That's wrong. He was fired before Zelensky got in, but he was fired. And he was fired because he was not good at his job and was taking money from every which way.
And to stand out as being corrupt in Ukraine, that's a high bar to
say. Right. Ukraine has a terrible corruption problem.
That's like being a bad police chief in Chicago.
Right. I mean, it's just, you know, and so for Trump not to understand the dynamics of what's going on, right, and throw it out there like, oh, this prosecutor got a raw deal and it's because Biden pushed him. No, right? Like, yeah, Biden did aim to push him out, but it was because everyone in the world said, this guy is not going to investigate the crimes that we know are happening under the Ukrainian, you know, administrator's watch. And so they need to, before we give you money to help you fight against Russia and other various threats to your country, we need to make sure that, one, that money is going to get to where it's supposed to go, and we need to make sure that you don't have people within your government that are going to, you know, manipulate the system so that you can't be successful, and we're not continually giving you money that ends up disappearing and nothing happens. And this prosecutor was in a distinct position to disrupt that whole thing, which is why that person had to go. You know.
Go ahead. Do you want to talk the politics of it or the media angle on it? Because I want to talk about both those things at one point. So which one do you want to talk first?
We can talk the politics of it. I mean, okay. I think the biggest thing to focus on, I believe, is one timeline of events, like in terms of Ukraine, so that people can understand why this, a lot of this doesn't make sense. The president's position, you know, some of the, why he's, you know, I mean, because that's where a lot of the impeachment energy is coming from the Democrats saying like, listen, we know that this prosecutor was corrupt. We know that he was fired for appropriate reasons. And we helped to push that, not because of Biden's son, right? It was strictly because of who the person was and how they were possible detriment to our relationship.
And it's perfectly possible that Joe Biden had more direct intel on this because his son was involved.
His son's not that bright. So Hunter Biden's not. Like, I mean, he got booted out of the military for, you know, drugs, and he's not, like, he's just the son of a, you know, senator and VP who is around very rich people and gets literally handed.
So he's a Fredo Corleone?
Yeah, I mean, okay. You know, so you just...
Sorry to use that just slur.
One of the motherfucking Fredos.
All right, so sticking with politics, this feels very much like the Democratic Party that isn't as mainstream, isn't as tame as Pelosi is saying, we got to do something, we got to do this, this is our shot. And I think Pelosi was bullied into it by that group of people who've gotten a lot of momentum and a lot of attention. I think the timing of this is disastrous for the Democrats, because I don't think it will do anything to additionally fire up their base. I do think it will continue to fire up the folks who think Trump is a victim of this whole thing. I don't buy the analogy that this is going to do for Trump what the Lewinsky impeachment did for Clinton. I don't believe that will be the case, because they're such different times and such different events that I don't...
Well, you're kind of
I'm kind of tripping over myself a little bit, but I don't think that's why it will be a backfire. I don't think it'll make Trump more popular. I think it will make...
You can't say it's firing up his base, not doing anything for the Democrats, and then saying...
Okay, I'm saying it badly, but
I guess... The situations are different, but Clinton, like, they went... Like, Kenneth Starr went too far with trying to get Clinton because he just became obsessed with it, right? It came down to a blowjob in the White House. He loses it, and he looked really bad in doing so, and so Clinton goes from... You know, shady guy doing these deals in Arkansas to just a dude trying to get a blowjob. You know, whose wife defended him, blah, blah, blah. Right. And so he ends up coming out looking like the hero. And Kenneth Starr comes out looking like the goat.
Weasel little dick.
Right. I mean, so, you know, it's like, oh, go ahead and get yourself laid, Starr. And, you know, Clinton got a boost just... Because it made him seem more cool. This is a different situation. Trump is going to get a boost because the people who follow him and then the people who are in the middle, on the fence, don't really want to, but they also didn't want... The one thing, if you were going to lose them, right, if you're going to lose those middle voters, and there's a legitimate argument to be made that you never were going to get them, that they were going to find an excuse to vote for Trump because... They just couldn't bring themselves to vote for a Democrat for whatever reason because they're all racist or whatever, you know, people are throwing out there. Okay, fine. But I think that he's going to get his base isn't going to shrink and it may grow some. And the one thing that Democrats couldn't afford was for his base to grow any. Right. And so now the Democrats are going to be faced with this. And now because they're going all in with impeachment and they're going to drag it out and it's, you know, they're, you know, are they going to vote? The question is, at the end of all this, are they going to vote to actually impeach him, right?
Right.
Or because either way it comes out bad. They vote to him, there's a positive vote to impeach him, a majority vote.
In the House.
And then in the House, and then it goes to the Senate, and then Mitch McConnell will kill it immediately. Like, it's just like...
Well, they need 67 votes in the Senate. They won't get 67 votes.
They won't get anywhere close to 67 votes in the Senate.
They might not get 50.
Right. So, I mean, it'll basically be a dead issue.
Right.
And so then Trump is going to have that as a tool in his, you know, as a weapon in his arsenal to say, you know, first you had the Russia investigation, then you had this whole thing with Ukraine and impeachment. It's all been lies. It's all been bullshit. Adam Schiff, little Adam Schifty, whatever. And people, and even, you know, even your kind of more middle of the road, slightly, you know, center, slightly left Democrats are going to be like, yeah, no shit. You know, I mean, like, yeah, that, like, we told you not to impeach him. What are you doing? Why did you do this? It was the one thing that you could have done, or the one thing you shouldn't have done, and you could have kept this as a voter, but because you did it, we're going to jump to the other side.
And here's what I was trying to say earlier and doing a miserable job about. But what came out to me through all this is House Democrats saying we need to retain, as individuals, we need to retain our seats come the next election. So we're going to fuck the whole thing just to make sure I still get to be a representative from whatever Wisconsin. Just, it's so politically motivated based on House Democratic congressmen and women needing to say, look at me, I stood up to Trump, we did this, even though it did no good for anyone.
You're not wrong.
Okay.
You're not wrong. I think, you know,
keeping the job is all these fuckers care about.
Yeah.
Period. And that goes on both sides. It just happens to be in this case, it's the Democrats doing it.
So the question is, is there actual ground for impeachment? And I think, you know, on the surface, it feels like there might be. And the reason is if you take things, because now everyone wants to get really, really literal, or they want to get really, really kind of, you know, subjective, or, you know, looking at things from a broader lens, like depending on what you want, right? If you are a Trump supporter, then you want everything to be very literal and you want to read things from left to right, top to bottom, right? Like, so in terms of the transcript, just read the transcript in order like you would a book, and no grounds for impeachment. If you're a Democrat or someone that wants to see Trump out of the office, then you want to, you have to, you know, take this phrase and then you have to match it with this paragraph. And then you have to, we need to see what happened before and after, because there's a bigger, there are bigger pieces here to this puzzle that we need to put all together. And then once they're all together, you will see this clear picture of, you know, high crimes and misdemeanors, which leads us to this road of impeachment.
So the I do think the whistleblower needs to be given some credit, because he clearly saw something that he thought was detrimental to the country, and he probably knows.
Did you
he
see took the? It. Did you see? I mean, did you see the whistleblower report?
I did not.
Okay, so the whistleblower report. You have an individual who received information from other individuals who heard the conversations with Trump.
Okay,
so the whistleblower didn't actually hear these conversations or witness these things firsthand. He's telling things as they were told to him, and there are legitimate questions as to, was he coached? Was he told to do this? Or did he do it and a group of people flocked to him and said, okay, this is the way to make sure that this, you know, looks good. So there's some questions around it. Now, I think there's, anytime you have a situation with a whistleblower, it needs to be taken seriously. It needs to, you know, it needs to kind of stand on its merits. But I think there are some legitimate questions that have to be asked. And I don't know if you're going to get the answer to them. But that's something worth keeping in the back of your mind while you're looking at the
legitimacy of the. So the reason I give him credit is because he had to know he was taking a serious career risk. You do that sort of thing to a sitting president, and your career could be over. Yep. Have you ever filed an HR complaint against a superior? I have. Mm. I did it when I was working in Charleston. I got work I did plagiarized. Literally, my boss took my work, published it in the company newsletter, and put her name on it. Ooh. And that was about the 10th thing she had done that pushed me towards the edge. But I finally just had enough. And I'll spare the details, it won't do any good. But I went to HR. I actually had everything on a floppy disk, and I called the floppy disk Barnacle after Mike Barnacle, who was accused of fired for plagiarizing after. So anyway, that was my secret code name. And it was terrifying to do this, because I knew, I even told the guy I was working with on a different site, I'm like, I'm going to go do this. I'm going to challenge my boss. And I told him, if I end up like Sonny at the toll booth from The Godfather, you'll know why. And the funny thing about it was, when I was writing the email to request a meeting with HR, I hit send and spell check stopped it. I'm like, okay, here's a chance to back out. Nope. Another spell check. By the fourth one, I'm like, and then finally it went through. I'm like, well, it's done now. So
spell your words better.
Exactly. I think there were names most of the time, but so it's a terrifying thing to light up your boss in front of, in this case, the American people, and you do it knowing this could be the end of my job. I mean, and when you're talking about the president, it could be the end of your career. So that's why I want to give this guy credit. But then to listen to, so driving in today, I listened to tons of satellite radio. And everything from Andrew Wilkow on the Patriot Network, I listened to Chris Cuomo on POTUS, and you would insist, if you listen to any, I listen to a bunch of stuff on Fox. In fact, I want to show some respect for Fox. When Shepard Smith and Chris Wallace were talking, they were actually level-headed, reasonable, and wanted to say that, okay, this is worthy of looking at, but, you know, it's being handled like a political football. Nothing that either of them said was, in my opinion, unreasonable. So I want to give some credit to Chris Wallace and Shepard Smith. Having said that, the rest of it, you would literally believe, if you listen to the right-wing side of things, that Joe Biden was an evil monster pulling the strings in 2016, trying to save his son, who was receiving $1.5 billion. According to them, Hunter Biden received $1.5 billion from the Ukraine. I don't know that that's not true.
It's not
but
true.
I do. Of course
okay.
It's not true.
It's not, well, I mean, so this is where the $1.5 billion comes from. Hunter Biden basically joined somewhat right. of like a hedge fund that invested in a company in China.
Right. Is it an oil company? Or no oil's involved. I don't know.
Oil is the Ukraine company. I'm not sure about okay. the company in China. Okay. The company in China, he invested like $400,000. And then that company, I guess, had like an estimated worth of X amount of dollars. And if Hunter Biden pulled that money out, or if he pulled the value of his investment out, it would be this $1.5 billion number. But it's not the money. The money wouldn't all be dispersed to Hunter Biden. It would be him and other people. And it also, that's not the actual number, and he hasn't done it yet.
Okay.
So to this point, he's only put money into a Chinese company. He hasn't received anything from it.
Yes, there's currency manipulation shit that goes
right.
on.
Right, I mean, there's other questions. I mean, you know, and a lot of people are saying, well, why is Hunter Biden doing business with the Chinese, and right. why is he doing business with the Ukraine, and these are companies that the U.S. is interacting with, and blah blah blah, yada yada. And it's just like, okay, fine, fair, but let's just be clear: Ivanka Trump has 3 patents pending in China right now, and is working on closing a deal for her clothing line in China as we speak today, right now.
Right.
Right. Like, so, I mean, and that's where
it's so brutal.
See. Yeah. It's really bad, but I think those are valid things that you need to know. Like, if you want to attack Hunter Biden for this, then why are you not looking at Ivanka? And oh, by the way, Trump has his clothes and everything still made in China.
Right. And I mean, the Trump deals with Moscow, the Trump Tower in Moscow and all that. So if you listen to the right wing side, that's what you get. Now you listen to the left wing side, and Donald Trump tried to force Ukraine to blah, blah, blah. Neither side was particularly reasonable. The only two things I listened to today that didn't sound incredibly partisan were Chris Cuomo and Shepard Smith and Chris Wallace. By the way, Chris Wallace, as he was getting let, you know, wrapping up his visit on Shepard Smith's show, said, oh, by the way, I want to bring up one more thing to your attention. Ole Miss, which is Shepard Smith's alma mater,
yes.
is a 38-point underdog to Alabama. And he was like, have you ever seen? And just started tearing into Shepard Smith for Alabama being a 38-point favorite. It was just a comical dick move, the kind of thing you'd expect someone like you or me to do to each other, you or I to do to each other. It was just such a dick move and kind of funny. So
it is funny, and especially when you're – like, my team has been a pretty big underdog to a number of teams, so – I feel Shepard Smith's pain on that one.
And it triggered him. He was like, look, we had got in trouble. We had a bunch of freshmen and sophomores. We're going to get better. Our baseball team's going to be great this year. And our basketball team. He wanted to trigger him, and he did. So, Shepard Smith, you've been triggered by your own man. Anyway, can we move on from this, or do you want to keep talking about him?
No, I mean, we could. I mean, and you know, we've had an official vote. You know, Democrats have voted to move forward with the impeachment inquiry, which was required. A lot of people said that Nancy Pelosi made this unilateral move, and
right.
you know, without the, you know, how can this be? It's just like, guys, like, she just made the announcement. They're going to vote on it. We know it's going to pass, you know, beyond right. what they need.
And then it'll get stalled in the Senate, and it'll just yes. be a clusterfuck. So,
well, I mean, we know the vote for the actual inquiry to begin was going to get the votes that it needed. Right. right. So now right, they have right, to right. do the inquiry, and then they have to take another vote on whether they're actually, you know, moving forward right. with actual impeachment or not. If that vote passes, then it goes to the Senate. And this is more of an explanation just for anyone who doesn't sure. know the process. But then it would go to the Senate, which, oh, by the way, is controlled by Republicans, and it will likely die in the Senate.
The one thing that I found interesting, so the comparisons to the Clinton thing I kind of dismissed. And again, what I really wanted to get into was, a lot of people were comparing it to Watergate. When Watergate started, there was no support for impeachment. And then as things moved on, Republicans put their party loyalty aside and said, this has got to change things. It ultimately leads to Nixon's resignation. I don't see that having a chance in hell of happening here.
None of that.
But that's if you are legitimately hoping for this to go there, that's the one and only way this happens. You not that Trump would ever resign.
Listen, but if Democrats would have played this better from the get-go,
what would the Steve strategy have been?
I think for the entire Democratic Party, if they would have played this better, just said, all right, we lost. We don't like him, but let's, you know, we'll fight him on policy. You know, we'll drum up support for our, you know, for our causes and for our side. But kind of left it at that, stayed away from the whole Russia thing. You know, the Mueller report and all that other stuff. I mean, I think the Mueller report was worth investigating to the point where you say, find out how the Russians manipulated our election.
Right.
Period.
Which they did.
And they did. And they found that out, and people were indicted, and that was the most critical component. I think they should have punted on obstruction. I think they should.
I would argue that they did do that.
Even putting the actual report out there saying, you know, because here's the thing, Mueller didn't even say, like, I mean, he said that he could have, technically you could investigate him for it based off of these things, but I'm not going to make a determination one way or another. That to me is a waste of time. All it did was create more cloud cover. So what you do is you completely punt on the obstruction thing. You don't even have that put in the report. All you do is you just talk about how the Russians directly impacted our election. Not even looking for collusion. You say, listen, if there was definite actual conspiracy for, you know, where the Trump people say, you know, we will give you money and you give us information, or we will give you money and you just make a mess of this thing. Okay, great. Show me that. Other than like direct hard evidence. Like, I mean, a smoking gun. Then the only thing that should have been in that report was how, who, what, when, where, and why the Russians got into our shit, right? You leave that in its own box by itself, and I guarantee you, Trump still walks himself into this whole impeachment thing, right? You still saber rattle and you hold him accountable for when he says something dumb or when he tweets something stupid or when he does whatever it is that he's going to do because he is who he is, right? But you basically let him hang himself. He was going to do it anyway, I'm telling you, right? You, like, all things being the same, you just stay out of the whole mess with the Mueller report. And you even with this, I think this would hold a lot of people would be a lot more comfortable with the idea of impeaching him over this. If you don't have the whole shit with the Mueller report and the way that went down.
You're probably right. You're probably right about that. Well, it's going to be interesting. You know, so right now, literally, as we are sitting here speaking, Bill Maher's show started. So when we release this, that will be a day or two old. And I guarantee you that crowd, it's happening now, so no intel. I guarantee his crowd is going nuts. And Bill Maher is going to announce that this is it. Trump's finally going down. And that's the mentality that I've been calling out and we have been calling out and saying,
listen, that's the mentality that got us into this position in the first place.
Yes.
You know, I will forever go to the fact that Hillary didn't go to the main states in the Midwest and campaign there heavily towards the end is why you're here, right? That's her arrogance. That's their lack of insight. That's their lack of whatever you want to call professionalism.
Not to mention the fact that Hillary was handed this as if it was something that she was owed.
Okay, and that's fine. But she was in the position.
Right. Yep.
She was in the position, and she whether you say she was it was handed to her or whatever.
It was.
I mean, okay, and I can argue that she was probably one of your more qualified candidates to run for president in a long fucking time.
In terms of resume, sure.
Right. It was right up there with George W. Bush and her husband. You know, with if you look at her resume in terms of, she was the fucking Secretary of State. What the fuck? They were governors. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, I mean, governor is an executive position though, so I would whatever. She was a senator. She was Secretary of State.
She was a senator.
She was a first lady for 8 years.
I mean, like,
she had the resume.
She's got she has the chops to do it. And insufferable personality and all these other things and the scandals and blah 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 blah. Yeah, she had baggage, but the bottom line is, when it came down to the end, that's an election she should have won. Her team didn't have the right strategy to do it, and I don't know if she didn't have the energy. She said, listen, I don't got the juice to go everywhere I need to go, so we need to figure out the key places. Maybe that's what it was.
Probably played a role.
But at the,
I mean, the video of her collapsing. Remember that?
Yeah, that wasn't good.
That was legitimately like, holy cow.
Right, yeah. That was problematic. But either way, she didn't do what she needed to do. Right, I mean, we can blame the white women who the
51% or
you know, 53% of white women that voted for Trump, or we could blame the black people that didn't come out to vote because it's always our fault, or whatever you want to do, the Asians that voted for Trump, whatever, whoever you want to blame. All right, but I still believe that it falls directly on Hillary for what she didn't do from a campaign strategy standpoint. That is why we're here.
Okay. This has been going to be talked to death, and there are things we've talked about on the show in the past that I want to touch base on, specifically the Amber Geiger trial started this week, and I did not see any of her testimony. I heard she broke down on the stand.
Yeah, so if you don't remember, Amber Geiger is a Dallas police officer who ran into the wrong apartment and killed...
His last name is Jean or Jean.
Yeah.
Bhopal Jean? Something like that?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I'm fucking this up. We're fucking this up. Yes. But anyway, so she enters the wrong apartment, shoots and kills this man in his own apartment. Apparently she turned on her police camera. Both of them, Gene, okay.
But so, anyway, I felt bad. But so she's on trial. Yeah, she goes into this. She parks on the wrong floor, I guess. She parks in the wrong floor on the parking deck. Then she goes into the wrong floor of the apartment. Then she goes in the wrong door in the apartment. And then it's what's up in the air is, did he answer the door or was the door open? Either way, she shoots him, thinking that he's
an intruder
or whatever, and then calls the police. But he's dead, basically, pronounced dead at the scene. And, so she's going on trial right now. And there's a couple of things, about this case. In Texas, the whole thing about her being tired and her, legitimately thinking that he was an intruder because she was, in the wrong, that doesn't matter, right? So her being a police officer isn't a defense.
Right.
And,
for a bunch of reasons, including she was off duty.
Right. Because there are police officers who will argue, well, you're never off duty. Well, no, actually you are. That is why you punch in and you punch out. There are clear delineations between when you're on duty and when you're off duty. Can you be called in when you're off duty? Yes. Can you re-engage really quickly from off duty? Yes. But the reality is she was off duty. And so her parking on the wrong parking deck, her going on the wrong floor, her going into the wrong apartment, those are all mistakes that she made. Yeah, you made them because you were tired, but you still made them.
Right.
Right. And then you pulled out a gun and you shot an innocent man in his home.
Yep.
He was doing absolutely nothing wrong. Right. He not a fucking thing. He was sitting there eating fucking Wheaties or whatever the fuck he was doing. And you murdered him. Right. Well, he wasn't listening to my commands. Well, why the fuck would he?
You're in his living room.
You are in his living room and you just pointed a gun at him and he's not listening to you. No shit. Right? At that point in time, it doesn't matter about your badge or your gun, and I don't even know, the idea that you make all these errors, and you could just kick in the door and shoot someone and just say, my bad, I was tired.
And I feared for my life, because that's always the...
Right, that's not a defense here. You took a man's life because you made multiple mistakes.
Right.
It's just, it's a really sad situation. She got on the stand today, testified in her own defense. She cried. She said she was really sorry and that she wished it was her instead of him. All those things. And to a degree, listen, I believe her. I don't think that there's some conspiracy that she wanted to, I don't think she, wanted to get with him and he had refused her. So she kicked in the door and killed him. I buy the fact that she worked a long shift and she was tired. I buy all of it. Right,
but it's still murder not, or is it manslaughter?
Well, in Texas, looking at Texas law, it can still be murder, second degree murder, but it can still be murder, and that's the reality. Now, you had a Texas state ranger get on the stand, who this guy looks eerily like David Clark from Milwaukee.
Okay.
you know, black guy, strong jawline, cowboy hat, you know, the whole Texas Ranger thing. He gets on the stand and he says, "She didn't. I don't believe she committed a crime."
Okay.
Like he said, like flat out.
And why is his belief whether or not there was a crime relevant though?
Well, I think he was investigating Texas Ranger.
Okay. So it wasn't investigated by the Dallas PD because that would be a conflict of interest that brought on the Texas Rangers.
Right.
Okay, gotcha. All right.
I mean, listen, his testimony was so bad that I firmly believe that he should lose his job after.
Okay. I didn't see it, so.
You know, I mean,
when you say bad, you mean just biased in favor of the law enforcement officer without regard for the citizen?
Without regard for the citizen or the law.
Okay.
I mean, which, you know, I think is important here. maybe I'm wrong.
Sounds crazy. Well, we'll see what happens. We'll continue to follow this. I'm sure we'll be talking about it next week, whether it's at a conclusion. Honestly, Steve, I hate to say it, I have the feeling this is going to be another one of the same things there where a hung jury or something where they can't get a conviction. That's not what I'm rooting for. I believe this woman committed an act that led to an innocent man getting gunned down in his own fucking home. And I almost never celebrate people going to jail. And I'm not going to celebrate that she's off the streets because I feel safer. But she killed someone through her own negligence or stupidity or exhaustion, whatever. And you take a human life recklessly, there's a price to be paid for that. But I'm just concerned that it's not going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly do not see how they don't convict her of second-degree murder.
Okay.
And at minimum, manslaughter.
That should happen. I'm just, there have been too many examples of...
I agree, but I mean, also you have a jury, like, the other fear is a hung jury.
Right, which is actually what I'm predicting will happen.
Right, I mean, like, the hung jury I can deal with in the way that so the racial makeup is, like, 5 black, 5 Hispanic, and 2 white.
Wow, which is, that's a shocking...
Right, which is shocking. And then I think it's 7-5 in favor of women?
Okay, I don't know.
On the jury, I saw the stats earlier this week. Either way,
it's roughly a 50-50 split, it's a majority non-white jury.
Right,
which is,
so, I mean, I think you could, I mean, you could realistically see a second-degree murder conviction here. The concern would, you know, do your 2 white jurors trip you up and, you know, I mean, and now listen, we're making broad generalizations it's going to be the 2 white jurors, if any, that hang this up. I mean, who knows? It could be Hispanic, whatever. Maybe the Texas Ranger is very convincing, and that's what someone hangs their hat on. There's no lawyer that I've talked to a couple lawyers, you know, that work specifically in criminal defense, prosecutor and defense attorneys, and people who have experience on both sides, and one that is in Texas, in Houston, and I'm trying to see if he can come on the show at some point once we get an actual decision here.
Okay.
So we'll see how that goes. But I mean, everyone that I talk to, from a professional standpoint, thinks that this should second degree, you know, no doubt.
Okay. I mean, I think the
that's
right
what
thing,
it should be. Now, think, what right. a jury does, right. and it's Texas, who the fuck knows?
Right. That's where I'm going. And honestly, if I was on a jury and knowing what I know, which is clearly not enough, I don't see how you don't at least say this is a negligent manslaughter. It's got to be at least that. Because
negligent manslaughter isn't a...
Criminally negligent manslaughter isn't a thing in Texas?
No.
Okay. All right. Well, manslaughter. She killed someone due to her combination of bad decisions and or exhaustion. And if I get exhausted and drive over someone in the street, I can't say, well, I was tired. I mean, I can.
Yeah, but, you can. But I mean, people do all the time, but they still go to jail
for it. Right.
I mean, right. I mean, you can say, well, I'm drunk.
I can say I was tired. You know, well, drunk adds an element. It's different. Yeah, it changes the game.
It's different.
All right. Well, we'll keep an eye on this. I'm sure we'll be talking about it next week, and we'll see. And hopefully, your lawyer friend can come on, and you two can talk law while I.
Yeah, I mean, I think you know he's you know, I mean, it would be more social. I mean, we could dig around in the legal, but that's not interesting.
Okay. All right. Now, what is interesting is this, and we got to play this. I'm sorry, man. Okay, so in an upscale Los Angeles neighborhood, a woman named Heather Lynn Patton had a very strong opinion she wanted to share with the world. You want to cue it up?
Yeah, here we go.
I hate niggers!
Oh, but why? Please tell us why.
Yeah, she's on drugs or something.
Okay.
No, I'm totally... I just hate niggers!
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's all.
Fuck you, niggers! I hate niggers!
It's okay, we're calling the cops on you because you're disturbing everyone in
here. I would kill a nigger, but the law says I can't kill the niggers!
Thanks for following the law.
If the law didn't say that I couldn't kill the niggers, they'd all be dead!
All of them is a pretty ambitious goal, by the way.
Right. Okay, so one question. Why is she dressed like a samurai ninja?
Well, she was going to kill...
More of a samurai... Well, yeah, she was going to kill us. She needed to, you know, blend in.
Yeah, well, not just blend in, but, I mean, it's the ninja code or the samurai code, right? She's... So, it's good. I'm really glad racism's dead, because that would be really, really disturbing if it wasn't.
Heather Lynn Patton lost her job. She was a fashion designer in D.C., or costume designer
L.A.
In L.A., for a Hollywood studio, and she has since been fired. Now, in her defense, she did say that she had been drinking, and
I've gotten really, really drunk with you a lot of times. Mm-hmm. I've been drunk and annoyed with you.
Yeah,
and I've yet to go on that.
Right, evidenced by you still being alive. She admits that she's hammered, right? And she also clearly gets in her car and eventually drives away.
I didn't think about that. Not only does she get in her car, she points out, here's my license plate. Yeah, you want to prove it's me,
right.
Do it.
So it's like, oh boy, that's a bad combination. You may be in for a bad day in the next couple days.
I want to be clear. This is not a defense or even, I've got to know what triggered that meltdown. I have to know. I don't care. There's no... I traded some text messages,
yes.
And I claimed that there is one legitimate defense. If, like the movie Die Hard with a Vengeance, there's a madman played by Jeremy Irons who literally said, if she doesn't do this, I'm going to blow up a school full of kids. If that's the case, I'm giving her a pass. I get a pass. Then, you know.
If Jeremy Irons is... One, it has to be Jeremy Irons, and Jeremy Irons
specifically
only.
Him. Right, I agree.
Only.
I agree. If it's Alan Rickman's like younger brother playing a different brother... No good. Sorry. Got to be Jeremy Irons. and he died in that movie, so she's fucked. But anyway.
Yeah, true.
But it did... Filmed in L.A.? No, filmed in New York. Fuck that. It was New York.
Which one?
The third one was in New York.
Oh, yeah. The third one was in New York. Probably was actually filmed in, like, Toronto or whatever.
Or Cleveland.
I guess... So I'm really bad with that. A lot of, like, blockbuster movies were filmed in places where I've been. And The Dark Knight was filmed in Chicago while I was in law school there, right around where I was.
Avengers was filmed in downtown Cleveland. Well, when you were there.
The issue with that was with Batman, I had no idea, and I've talked to other people. They had no idea. They didn't know until after, but shortly after it was filmed, I think I moved like a year and a half later or whatever, and then when they wrapped filming, and then the movie came out. You know, 2 years later after I was gone. And I remember seeing it saying, holy shit, that's right. That might be me walking out of the library. Like, I mean, it was bizarre. But anyway, sorry.
All right. Well,
sidetrack.
But anyway, this one
I'm
goes
bad
on
at recognizing movies when they're being filmed around me.
Okay.
Like, I walked through the set of the Avengers one day. Going to lunch.
I remember that. Yeah.
Like they were like yelling at me, and then I helped them move the thing.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So assuming that Jeremy Irons did not, in fact, threaten to blow up a school in Los Angeles if she didn't do this, and again, I don't know for certain.
I really hate the feeling of almost blowing whiskey through your nose. It's not good.
I'm glad that almost happened. So she gets fired, of course. And I saw on Twitter some people were talking First Amendment shit. How many times do we have to fucking say this? The First Amendment is not freedom to speak without consequence. This woman should not go to jail for what she did. Well, other than getting in a car drunk and driving and yelling, I hate niggers in the middle of the street.
Well, there's an argument to be made where she says I would kill them.
Threatening physical violence.
Right. I mean, but she says, you know, it's against the law, so I won't can't. But it's just like, I don't know, man.
But
I mean, like, she doesn't need to go to jail. She did get fired. I mean, look, listen, rightfully so. Your boss. I mean,
if you did that, or I did that, and it ended up on YouTube with 10 million views,
and my boss finds out, then my boss is like, "What the fuck is wrong?"
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, it just and so that happens. Like, if you think you shouldn't be fired for running your mouth saying stupid shit in public, I'm sorry.
If I got up there and said, "I hate Swedes
or whatever,"
I'm trying to be the most innocuous group. I hate Swedes. Fuck Sweden. Now I'm doing it. Now I'm going to get fucking fired. Great. Fortunately, the only Norwegian company, I'm sorry, the only Scandinavian company I've been working with is Denmark, and they hate Swedes too. So that might give me a promotion. But yeah, so she gets fired. There's no First Amendment issue here. She deserves to get fired. Good luck getting people to work with her in any kind of a Hollywood setting. I mean, you're the fucking crazy lady who said this shit.
Change your name, dye your hair, cut your hair, lose weight, and stop dressing like a samurai. Maybe.
Or dress completely like a ninja. Just like nothing but eyes.
Right. Something, and I mean.
I think that's actually the way to go. Heather, the funny thing is, on YouTube today, if I typed in Heather space L and Heather Lynn Patton showed up. Not Heather Locklear. Not, you know, there's probably other Heather L's out there.
Heather Locklear just had a meltdown not too long ago.
Yeah.
And she got arrested.
Right.
I saw her mugshot.
Oh my God, that mugshot was brutal. You probably don't have the same affinity for Heather Locklear that I did, because that famous poster came out like when I was like 12 or 13.
Yeah.
So you were 3. But
wasn't quite there yet.
Right, not exactly. But to men my age, the Heather Locklear poster and the Farrah Fawcett swimsuit poster were like life changers.
Farrah Fawcett was a bad bitch.
She was. That and Carrie Fisher in the gold bikini in Return of the Jedi were like
with the Cinnabon hair.
With the Cinnabon hair were like the three female hot. You're a teen. Like, ooh, I like this. Maybe don't even know completely why, but I know I like this. So anyway, yeah, she is no longer working in Hollywood.
I grew up in the 80s. I didn't really have that.
Right. No. I mean, what were the iconic like?
Early 80s, you know what's weird? Who I was really attracted to in the early 80s?
Tina Turner. It would have been early 80s for you.
For me,
you were born in 82?
In 80. I was born in 80. Okay. So, but my parents will tell you, dad still tells the story, that they had to pull me off the TV whenever Tina Turner would come on, because I would just like stare at her legs and like literally physically try to grab them, right? So, I mean, that was whenever...
You were a pervert young age.
I've been a perv from the get-go.
Okay.
But whenever...
Beyond
Thunderdome came out...
Which would be 86 or 7, yeah. Somewhere in that range.
So it's been a long... No, yeah. Probably... Yeah, somewhere, but probably 85.
Okay.
Between 84 and 85.
I know that Road Warrior, the original one, the Australian one, was like late 70s.
Yeah.
And by the way, if you go back and watch those movies today, they are the original Road Warrior is unwatchable.
I watched Road Warrior.
It's got a great scene, a couple great scenes.
I watched all of them before I watched Fury Road.
Okay. All right. I watched some of Road Warrior the other day. I was like, all right, I think it looks so dated and so goofy that I can't do it.
Sorry, fancy pants.
But anyway, so in Hollywood this week, the movie Joker's coming out.
Mm.
Or is it already out?
I think it came out.
Midnight this morning,
whatever.
Obviously, I haven't seen it yet.
Neither have I.
And there's a lot of talk because of Joaquin Phoenix playing the Joker, and obviously the whole flashback to the fact that Heath Ledger was so good at it in The Dark Knight, and of course he died tragically.
Overdosed.
Well, it's a little tragic.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying, right.
So a lot of people are making a big deal out of this movie glorifying the life of a mass murderer. And it's a fucking movie. I'm sorry. I can't go down this road. I mean, look, if you want my opinion...
Is that the beef?
That's the beef I've heard.
Jeez.
Is that they're glorifying a mass murderer and they're...
Joker.
And it does...
The dark version of the Joker.
Right. The movie Hannibal... Which basically tried to explain Hannibal Lecter was it got a little bit of like negative acclaim or lack of critical acclaim. It was not deemed to be a great movie, but no one thought, you know what, if we show this movie, so people are going to eat people.
Hannibal, that's the one with what's her name, the redhead, right?
Julianne Moore.
Julianne Moore. You know what that movie got criticized for?
not having Jodie Foster in it?
No. Well, the socio-political whatever, it was because they said that she was too violent of a heroine. The opening scene of that movie, there's a drug deal that goes down, and she takes out a drug dealing mom who was holding a pretend baby, but it was actually like crack and like AK-47 or whatever. So there's this crazy shootout, and Julianne Moore is just in the middle, just bang, 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 John Wick style, just taking people out. And that was the big criticism of the movie, that, you know, a female character shouldn't be this violent.
Vaguely remember that.
Yeah, that was a huge...
And that's one with Ray Liotta, right? Where he cracks open the dude's head, or am I mixing up my movies?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Spoiler alert,
but 20 years ago.
Yeah. And the reason I actually like that movie, and I'm a big Julianne Moore fan, whatever. I got a thing for redheads, I guess. But, so that was a big criticism about that movie. But in the meantime, you still have this dude that's murdering people and eating them.
Yeah.
And that wasn't, like, a huge thing, but we live in this...
And not only doing that, but I'm not saying he's the hero of the movie, but he's doing these things, and you kind of... You're loving him on screen, right? I mean, he's not a hero.
Anthony Hopkins,
right? And, yeah, right. But very compelling, very, very charming is actually the word I'm going to use. As charming as you can be when you're cutting someone's head open and frying their brains and feeding it to them.
That scene...
With the pig?
No, he hangs the guy and cuts him just enough so that when the pressure and the fucking guts come out.
Yeah, Jesus. I mean, the movie is gory and brutal, and yet you don't walk out of there going, that motherfucker Anthony Hopkins, I wish I had seen him die. You just don't do that. Or maybe you did. I don't know. I'm not a huge fan. Yeah. All right, but my point being, making a movie about the Joker, a comic book psychotic murderer, the idea that that is going to inspire murderers... To me, if we're that far gone as a society, just take our guns and movies away from us. That's not,
like, the only thing... What will inspire people, I think, the more compelling issue is, you know, are people going to look back... You know, some psycho going to look at what happened with the Aurora, Colorado shooting...
Where the guy literally said, I'm the Joker, and shot...
You know, goes in, like, gets, you know, got himself body armor... Well,
showing the Dark Knight, right?
Yeah, it was for, you know, it was the opening of the Dark Knight. Right. And there, this is completely fucked up, but there's an argument to be made that had that not happened, that movie may not have still caught that movie in terms of the box office numbers that it did, because there was, like, people didn't go to the theater.
Terrified to go see it, because they were afraid some other psychos would do this. True.
And so, I mean, and you just have to wonder how much money that movie would have made had that not happened. Not that this is a conversation about money. But it is also one of my favorite movies. So, but
there's no denying Heath Ledger in that movie is phenomenal.
Yeah,
and the whole thing about, you know, the way that movie, the thing that sticks out to me in that movie, because I use this all the time, is whenever I'm trying to judge what motivates someone, and that speech that Alfred gives, that some people just want to see the world burn.
Yeah,
and this town deserves a better class of criminal. I'm going to give it to him. I mean, the craziness that he portrays as that character and the way that movie is unfolds is great.
It was a brilliant performance. I mean, that movie is the reason why we now have to look at these comic book movies seriously for the Academy Awards.
Right. Right? And adult viewership taking it. It's no longer adults who, it's nostalgic for me. I mean, I loved the original, not the original, but the Michael Keaton, Jack Nicholson, Batman. I loved that movie.
Yeah.
Fucking love that movie.
I did too.
And I was 18 when it came out, and it still has nostalgic value today.
Jack Nicholson was great. Michael Keaton was great.
Robert Wall was great.
Arliss.
But that Batman was clearly comic book.
Mm-hmm.
When you get to The Dark Knight, it's clearly comic book. But it's also more crime drama to me.
Well, that's because you don't know comic books.
Okay, well, that's true.
Like, these comic books, like, and this is the thing that people don't understand, is that all these comic books, these comic books have been around for, you know,
since the 60s, 60 years, right?
I mean, you know, some of these have been around since the 50s. So you have 60, 70 years of history and different iterations of these comic books. They've all, Superman, Batman, X-Men, Avengers,
Black Panther,
they have all have ebbed and flowed from super corny to super dark to everything in between. All of them. I mean, I've seen, I have read more comic books where I've either cried or been on the verge of tears and so pissed off because they killed someone, right? The first time Superman died, and he dies more than once, right?
Like, spoiler alert.
Literally ruined a month for me, right? When Bane broke Batman's back, and actually in that one, Bane actually killed him. That was, again, another devastating... That's actually why I switched over to Marvel. I'm like, if y'all don't keep killing my people, then fuck y'all. So then I go over to Marvel, and Marvel's like, we don't give a fuck. We kill everybody, too. Right? I mean, they've all died. Black Panther's died. Cap died. Iron Man died. Like, they keep killing all my people. So, they're dark. The comic books are dark. Yes, they're geared for kids, but these comic books get dark. And they get really... kind of spacey and creative, you know. I mean, creative. If you ever really want to see something fun in the world of comic books, watch Into the Spider-Verse.
Okay,
it's a different take on Spider-Man with Miles Morales. It's a version of the comic book that's really popular in the last few years, probably in like the last 10 years. It's a really different, cool take on Spider-Man. But you can watch, if you have Netflix, you can watch it on Netflix, I think. And it's a really cool adaptation. Yeah, it's a cartoon, but it's if you watch it just to kind of see things done different in the world of comics, it's pretty cool. All
right, you are much more into actual comic books than me.
I started reading comic books when I was 8,
and I read a few.
I mean, I read the Bible and then I read comic books. Period. For probably about five years.
And then since then, which one has gotten more attention? Do not answer that. Your priest from your Catholic high school wouldn't want to hear the answer to that.
Father Murphy knows. He knows what's up.
Okay.
I score touchdowns. I get a pass.
It's amazing how that does things. And speaking of scoring touchdowns or not, your boy Antonio Brown is now filing a grievance against the Raiders.
Yeah.
Now
he's also going back to school.
What?
He re-enrolled in Central Michigan.
I'm going to stop in and say hi next time I go to Grand Rapids. I'll offer to be his study buddy. I want to be Antonio Brown's study buddy.
You're going to be carrying a heavy load.
I will. It'll be probably farting at me like he did with that doctor. All right. So here's the funny thing to me. I honestly am going to say something that's probably going to shock you. I think he might have a legitimate beef with the Patriots. Because he had a signing bonus. They've chosen not to pay the portion they were supposed to pay, which I think was $9 million. I could be wrong about that.
They
terminated his contract for cause, I understand. But he had to
be on the roster to get that signing bonus.
Okay.
So.
Okay, then you lose. Sorry. All right. All right.
His contract was terminated for cause. Like one of the stipulations in his contract was don't be a dick. Yeah, I mean, there's much.
Don't be a dick is very subjective.
Well, agreed, but you know what I'm saying.
And like, he was a dick.
His contract had pretty, you know.
And I'm sure the Patriots organization knows how to handle this bullshit. They've taken on, you know, high risk contracts and players.
Corey Dillon, Randy Moss. Who was the linebacker?
Tom Brady. I'm joking. I'm fucking Tom Brady. I hate Tom Brady. You know that. By the way, Bills Patriots this week. This will be published right before that game happens. Brandon Spikes.
Yes. They've had other questionable people and brought them in, and you know, some have worked out, some haven't, whatever.
By the way, every NFL team's had questionable people. I mean,
yeah, I mean, they all do. I mean,
the Bills have had Richie Incognito for crying out fucking loud,
right? Who's in Oakland doing
who's Oakland? Okay, yeah. Dude's had some issues,
yeah,
and
the whole thing with the severed head at the funeral,
dad's head off at the funeral is kind of weird, yeah.
Bro, that's just...
He threw a dumbbell at a dude in a gym. I mean, if Richie Incognito hits a dude with a dumbbell...
You spend enough time in gyms, you'll see somebody get a plate or a dumbbell thrown at him.
Okay,
I've seen it 3 times.
Okay. How many times did you throw it?
Never.
Okay,
I've never gotten into an actual physical altercation with anyone in the gym, but I have broken things up.
What do you mean? Oh, broken up fights? Okay.
Yeah.
So anyway, Antonio Brown's filing a grievance the drama just keeps continuing. He's now saying that he went on his rant saying he was done with the NFL. If you can just lie and take away guaranteed money, what's the point? And now Drew Rosenhaus is saying, well, he's maybe not done. We said last week that we don't think he's coming back. I still don't think there's a chance.
I mean, I think, one, Drew Rosenhaus is like, fuck, man. I took you on as client because you were supposed to, you know, bring in money.
You signed a $25 million contract, and now I'm dealing with this bullshit.
Right.
Thanks,
I mean, AB. So Drew Rosenhaus is doing his job like a good agent should. But, I mean, AB clearly is just not focused on the NFL. His mind is elsewhere. I don't give the excuse of CTE and drugs. I think this kid, the Steelers contained him as long as they could. And once they paid him, the clock started. And once the clock started, they knew they had a finite amount of time to win with him and get him out. They didn't, and the clock expired. He lost his shit, and they said, okay, well, before he goes so far that we can't get, you know, a bag of shit for him, we'll take what we can get.
Right.
And the Raiders...
You were annoyed with how little they got, but you also sort of said, but that's what I expected, because he put them in such a bad position that...
Yeah.
Who's going to give up a first-round pick for a guy who's literally said, I'm never going to play for that team again, so...
Right. I mean, it just the timing sucked, but I quickly became okay with it. I mean, a third and a fifth was not ideal, but I also calculated in his age... with him being 31, there's, you know, like that factors into it as well. And you look at some of the other deals that have gone down with older players, and, you know,
and players who are difficult to deal with. Which, right. By the way, he managed to get when we talked about it last week, he was with the Patriots as long as Anthony Scaramucci was with the Trump White administration. 11 days.
Unbelievable.
So anyway, he's filing a grievance with the Raiders, a team that he clearly shit on to get to the Patriots, and now he's saying, and y'all owe me money. This is awesome. We will see how it plays out. And so we got a couple cliffhangers. We got the whiskey cliffhanger, the Amber Geiger cliffhanger, and now the Antonio Brown cliffhanger. And with that, I'm ready to shut it down. How about you?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, so thank you. We are at Whiskey Congress on Twitter and Instagram. We are jim@whiskeycongress.com if you want to email me, steve@whiskeycongress.com if you want to email him. Always love getting the feedback. We're pretty active on Twitter. Steve's doing the heavy lifting there. And we're done. Thanks a lot, and let's drink some more whiskey. We're out.